Climate change means surprises. New science suggests we may be fooled by quiet hurricane years, then hit by a terrible storm season, complete with massive damage and loss of lives. That strange new reality comes from a study just published in Science Advances. Projected increase in the frequency of extremely active Atlantic hurricane seasons. Here to explain is the lead author, Dr. Josme Lopez. Josme is an oceanographer working at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA. He researches extreme weather and is a team leader for a NOAA project that develops a seasonal outlook for U.S. landfalling hurricanes. I look at that every year. From Florida, Josme Lopez, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you, Alex, and thank you for the opportunity to talk to your audience.
Well, what brought you into the study of hurricanes, or as scientists prefer to call them, tropical cyclones?
Hurricanes are among the most deadly and costly natural disasters that impact our nation, as well as other countries, each year. So, therefore, there is an urgent need to better understand how hurricanes' activity are projected to change in the 21st century under the influence of anthropogenic climate change, or global warming, as you might have known.
And what did you and your six co-authors try to find out with this latest research?
In this work, we analyze observed changes in Atlantic hurricane activity, as well as their future projections. We show with this work that there has been a significant increase in the year-to-year variability of hurricane activity since around 1995, which has been responsible for the occurrence of extremely active as well as extremely inactive hurricane seasons. Interesting with this work is that climate models also show this trend going into the future. So this suggests that, our work suggests that by the middle of the 21st century, the variability of hurricane activity will increase by an additional 36%. This increase in the future activity will cause more extreme swings between active and inactive hurricane seasons, with great implication for seasonal outlooks as well as for society.
And yet, if I have this right, a 2 degrees C of warming, for example, storm experts and the models predict there may be two fewer tropical cyclones per year if you take it on average, but some storm years would be much worse.
Correct. The scientific consensus at the moment is that a 2 degree global mean temperature increase will result in a reduction in hurricane frequency by about 15% for the Atlantic basin. This accounts more or less for about 2 storms per year less than what we have seen in the historical period. But this reduction of 2 storms per year is much smaller than what we're already seeing in as a year-to-year variability. For example, 2005, we saw 28 named storms, whereas in 2014, we only saw 8 named storms. So the current variability is much larger than the projected mean increase or decrease in hurricane activity. Despite these large year-to-year fluctuations, future changes in hurricane activity when it comes to year-to-year variability is rarely investigated. So this is one of the first studies that look into that.
And would some hurricanes be stronger in a warming world? Would they come in strings or even several at the same time? How do you picture the bad storm years in coming decades?
Most of the future projections call for an increase in hurricane intensity globally by about 5%. Not only that, but the impact, for example, when it comes to rainfall, some of these future projections call for an increase in rainfall associated, or rain rate associated with these storms by up to 15%. So while they may be less storms, the storm will be stronger. There's a disproportionate impact of strong storms versus weak storms. So it's not much more about the number of storms, but rather how intense they are.
It sounds like a hotter world brings many years of relative quiet on the storm front, and people in hurricane zones might relax and rebuild. Is it going too far to say that safety will be interrupted by storms stronger than we have seen, or a barrage of strong hurricanes? Is that how you would describe it?
Yes, I think that's a fair statement. For example, in our work, we found that by the middle of the 21st century, active hurricane seasons would account for about 38% of the years, whereas inactive hurricane season would be about 35% of the time, and the near normal seasons would only account for around 27% of the time. At the present time, the way we define what is an active, inactive, or normal hurricane season is based on climatological, what we call terciles. So we split the climatology into three beams, 33% each. So as you may recall from our work, we find that inactive hurricane season as well as very active hurricane season will increase at the expense of near normal seasons.
You say tropical cyclone activity is partly forced by changes in the Pacific Ocean. Please explain how sea surface temperatures in the eastern Pacific, say down along Peru, can affect the hurricane season over the Caribbean and the American South.
The tropical Pacific hosts the most dominant and far-reaching climate mode or climate factor known, which is what we call El Niño Southern Oscillation, or ENSO. Which is an oscillation between warm and cold sea surface temperatures in the tropical Pacific. The warm phase is known as El Niño, and what it does is this warm blob of sea surface temperatures reduces atmospheric convection over the Gulf of Mexico and the Caribbean, and at the same time, it also increases the vertical wind shear or variation in wind speed and direction with height. Both effects are very detrimental for hurricane activity in the Atlantic basin. The opposite effect is observed during the cold phase, or known as La Niña, where you have reduction in the wind shear and more atmospheric instability over the Atlantic basin and increasing in hurricane activity there.
So with El Niño, we would expect fewer hurricanes in the Atlantic and Caribbean, and with La Niña, we might expect more.
And that is only one aspect. The Atlantic Basin itself is also a major driver of its own hurricane activity. So it's a combination of Atlantic as well as Pacific, so what we call interbasin interactions.
In a 2022 paper, you found changes in the way El Niño itself operates as the planet warms, and a recent paper published September 2024 in Nature agrees, this time with paleoclimate records. What do these changes in El Niño suggest about changes in the hurricane activity in the Atlantic?
Yes, our 2022 paper was the main motivation for this hurricane paper that we just published. In that paper in 2022, we found that El Niño variability will increase. Not only that, but also most of the increase in El Niño variability will occur during what we call the boreal summer, so our summer month, which is right in the middle of the hurricane season. So an increase in the major driver of seasonal hurricane activity will also increase the hurricane activity itself. So that was the hypothesis behind our work. And what we found is that this El Niño amplification, when it comes to the year-to-year variation, reflects onto a variation in hurricane activity in the Atlantic as well.
Osme, do you think global warming has already affected Atlantic hurricanes?
There's many recent stories arguing that changes in hurricane activity are detectable in the present day, with anthropogenic effects having already emerged over natural variability. However, separating natural versus anthropogenic modulation remains a challenge. This is mostly because as a natural forcing, there are modes of climate variability that operate on even decadal timescales. For example, the Atlantic multidecadal oscillation and the Pacific decadal oscillation, they have very slow varying mode, which also projects onto hurricane activity. That coupled to the fact that the hurricane observations record is relatively short and very inhomogeneous in time. So the observing system has evolved and improved. So there could be some artificial trends in the observations as well. So there's a lot of moving parts in order to be able to really pinpoint exactly how much anthropogenic climate change has caused the increase.
And looking through storm records, it appears that the short, quick storms, just a day or two long, are increasing as we warm. Why don't you count them in your study?
Yes, this stems from what I just mentioned before. The observing records have improved significantly, first with the addition of new techniques addition of satellite data, for example, new methods of extracting intensity from remote sensing, radar, satellites, which have improved throughout the years. So what we found is that in the recent record, most of the increase in the short duration storms, like the storms that are very weak and last for less than 2 days, are mostly due to improvement in the observing system rather than any underlying climate change. So we have to filter those out. So that is a way for us to filter any external factors that are not associated with climate change, but are instead associated with just us being able to observe these storms better.
Interesting. The tools changed so we can actually see there were more of them. Okay, now, one tool scientists use to measure tropical cyclones is called ACE, which stands for Accumulated Cyclone Energy. I looked into it. The math behind that calculation is beyond most of us. How does it help you understand current and future storms?
ACE measures the accumulated energy, as you mentioned, associated with a given storm. And it depends not only on the storm being present, but also on the intensity of the storm, because it's an index that is basically the square of the maximum wind speed. But also, it is aggregated over time. So it depends on the duration of the storm. So a long duration storm that is also a Category 5 will have significant amount of ACE. So ACE is a good metric for characterizing how active a hurricane season is. It is also well correlated with other large-scale climate factors like El Niño, for example, which is often used as a seasonal predictor for hurricane activity. Another point that we like to use ACE is because ACE records are relatively reliable, dating back to 1970. And that the mention of the short-duration storms have little or no impact on the seasonal ACE, because by definition, those storms are very weak and did not last as long, so their contribution to ACE is, in effect, very, very small.
And although it's not on your beat, you must have noticed that four tropical cyclones struck the Philippines in just 10 days this November. They arrived late at the end of a relatively quiet season. Is that unusual? Could it be another sign of human-induced climate change?
Yes, that is very unusual, especially this year where the Northwest Pacific has been fairly quiet as a whole. And it is very difficult to have this many strong storms making landfall on the same region, especially during a very inactive year for that specific region. So I'm sure there's going to be more studies on that, although I'm not an expert on Western Pacific tropical cycle, but I know that future climate change calls for an increase in intensity in that region as well as and including rain rate and major categories.
Suppose I'm a disaster planner in Florida or Texas or just a resident near the coast in those states. What can we do with the results of your new study?
Yes, these results are very important for disaster planners as well as the public in general, because both the increasing variability and the shift towards more active and inactive hurricane season, like, for example, the hyperactive years of 2005 and 2020, are projected to become more common. So just focusing on mean average increase or decrease is not enough. And the increase in the seasonal variability suggests that we may be underestimating future impacts of this extreme hurricane season. As a resident, I would say, always tell this to every time I get interviewed, is that it is better to be prepared at all times. I want to recall that 1992, for example, was a very quiet season, but it gave us Hurricane Andrew, one of the most destructive hurricanes that impacted our nation. So it's always good to be prepared.
We will be right back with more on the new hurricanes with Dr. Josme Lopez.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.
This is Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
We return to our feature interview with NOAA scientist Josme Lopez. His team found strange changes in hurricane seasons are coming as Earth warms. Are they already here? So the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, provides seasonal hurricane outlooks based on certain thresholds. Why do you say this needs to be re-examined, or at least we need to think differently about hurricane expectations?
This is because our findings suggest that the hurricane season are expanding when it comes to the occurrence of more active and more inactive years. This is what is known in the statistic community as tail risk, when you do risk management. I'll give you an example. There has been only one near normal season in the last 17 years, and this was 2022. All other seasons have been either very active or inactive seasons. This question of climate non-stationary behavior is very common in the climate science, given that by definition, when we define what is an active season, we rely on fixed thresholds. And those thresholds, let's say 12 main storms, for example, depends on prior climatology that may not be applicable in the future.
Hurricane predictions are a little bit like fire or wildfire predictions. We have experts who can say, well, the conditions are just right. We have the drought, we have the heat, the forests are very dry, but then you don't have terrible fires because the ignition source wasn't there. And I recall that this year NOAA said there were going to be dozens of named storms. We didn't get them, but we did get a terror that went through Florida and up into the Carolinas. So is that the situation that you could say, well, these conditions are good for hurricanes, but that doesn't necessarily mean they'll come?
Yeah, that's a nice assessment and a nice analogy with fire and pretty much any other weather event. I want to stress that first, 2024 is now categorized as a hyperactive season. The number of storms, based on the number of storms, has been active based on accumulated cyclone energy or ACE. Is now in the hyperactive season. So in that sense, the NOAA forecast was materialized and verified. So I think it was a fairly good forecast, although it was the most pessimistic forecast and bullish when it came to hurricane season. And it looks like this season is not going to reach those extreme thresholds, but the forecast itself was accurate when it came to the tertile forecast that I mentioned, above normal, normal, below normal. And the other point I want to make is that, based on your question, is that seasonal forecasts are, by definition, not deterministic. And what I mean by not deterministic is that we're really not forecasting a specific number of storms, and we're not forecasting where the storm is going to hit, at what category, and at what time. That is your typical weather forecast, which is known as deterministic weather forecast. For seasonal forecasts, we rely more on probabilities. Because, as you mentioned, all the conditions could be right for a hurricane to form, but the atmosphere could have the last word. So these are weather patterns that are highly chaotic. So you need all the right conditions, but then you also need the right conditions in the atmosphere. And those cannot be predicted at the seasonal timescales. We can only predict at seasonal timescales that strongly depends on oceanic variability, for example, El Nino, which operates on much lower timescales. But for the atmosphere, the weather forecast is as much as we can do, 7 to 10 days. And that's why sometimes you can see conditions being optimal and no storm being formed, because the weather patterns are not supporting that.
How far do you think forecasting of hurricane seasons will improve, and what are the big problems left to solve?
Improvement, there's always been improvement. This is a frontier of science, at least on the geoscience. There's new techniques that are being coming online, like, for example, machine learning, artificial intelligence, more sophisticated methods to account for larger variations. We also, studies like ours, also are looking at new physical mechanisms that we can first understand in order to implement in the prediction systems. Models are keep improving. We see that throughout the years, how we are reducing track records, intensity record forecasts with lead time. But on seasonal time scales, this is a very difficult problem because, as I mentioned before, most of the predictors that we can actually predict at those long lead times, I'm talking about one season, two season ahead of time, are oceanic predictors, El Nino, the Atlantic sea surface temperatures, the Pacific Decadal Oscillator, all these things. The atmosphere is not giving us enough signals, so there is a very strong barrier, predictability barrier at those time scales. So we first need to improve the prediction of these couple atmosphere ocean climate modes in order to then be able to improve hurricane activity at those seasonal timescales. So it's going to take some time, but we have made some improvement, but we still have a long way to go.
From Florida, we've been speaking with NOAA scientist Dr. Osme Lopez. Find links to all the science we just talked about in my weekly show blog at ecoshock.org. Osme, thank you for spending time with our listeners.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.